Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you believe Easter was 29 days ago? In 11 days, we'll celebrate the day of Jesus' ascension. And 10 days after that, we'll celebrate the day of Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Our gospel today, taken again from Maundy Thursday and John's recounting of Jesus' final address to his disciples before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, has Jesus again telling his disciples about the events that would take place after his suffering and death and resurrection, pointing them forward to his ascension, his going to the Father, and that great gift that he would pour down on his church in the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Earlier that same evening, on Maundy Thursday, John chapter 14 records it, Jesus had already begun to speak of the Holy Spirit. He tells his disciples, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." You notice Jesus calls him here another helper. That's because the disciples already had a helper there with them, Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit would be another helper. Let's take a moment and understand that word helper. It's been translated in various ways. Helper, comforter, counselor, advocate, or even directly transliterated from the Greek word paraclete. I like the translation advocate because it's how it seems to be used most in the Scriptures. It's someone who is called to the side of another person in order to speak up for them in their defense, on their behalf. Like an advocate or an attorney is called to the side of a defendant in the courtroom to speak up for him. In his first epistle, St. John calls Jesus our paraclete, our advocate. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus has been called to our side by God the Father to speak up in our defense, if we sin, whenever we sin, even though we shouldn't sin. The law accuses us before God and condemns us, but we have a paraclete, an advocate in the Lord Jesus. He speaks up on our behalf, not defending our sins, not lying to the court as if we hadn't sinned, but making the case before the divine court that he himself is the propitiation for our sins, that justice has been satisfied in his suffering and death, and that God has made a solemn promise that all who flee to Christ for refuge will be safe from condemnation. There he sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, as Paul writes to the Romans, our advocate. So now Jesus in the gospel speaks of another helper, another advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He had begun telling his disciples that he would be going away soon, and they were sorrowful and sad about it. But he told them, "You shouldn't be. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." It's to our advantage that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God. It's to our advantage to have that advocate there who is the very propitiation for our sins, sitting at God's right hand to speak up for us. As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." So it's to the church's advantage to have Jesus at the right hand of God. And it's also to our advantage to have that other helper or advocate, the Spirit of Truth, here on earth, by our side. Wherever the church is gathered throughout the whole world, advocating on our behalf before the world. Here's what Jesus says the Spirit will do. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. He, Jesus says, will convict the world or reprove or rebuke or show the world its fault. The word means all of those things. Because he, the Spirit of Truth, is our helper, our advocate, called to our side to speak up for us, to be the one who does the convincing, who does the showing of fault, who does the rebuking in the world. But as you know, the Spirit is not seen. The Spirit is not directly heard. The church is his mouthpiece. The church is his voice. But it's the Spirit using our voice as Christians speaking the truth of Christ, as ministers, as preachers, as the church in the world, speaking the truth of the law which convicts us of sin. All people, no matter who you are. And the gospel of Jesus paying for our sins and offering us salvation through faith alone. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. In Bible class recently, we talked about this. Recently also, an Italian man died and his young son was given the chance to speak to the Pope. And he asked him about his father, who had been an atheist, who died as an atheist, asked the Pope if his father might still be saved. And the Pope assured the young boy that his father had done many good things in his life. He had done very good works, and God was surely very happy with him for those works. And so, of course, he will be in heaven. Of course, he was saved, even though he didn't believe in God at all. Does that sound like the voice of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said it in today's gospel? Not at all. It's the voice of the demon. The great sin, according to Jesus, the sin that the world refuses to acknowledge, is not to believe in Jesus. As the Christ, as the Son of the living God, and our advocate before the Father. And we're talking here, of course, about the real Jesus. Not the Jesus where practically everyone says, "Well, I believe in Jesus, but don't know him at all, don't know what his word says, aren't sorry for their sins, don't really look to him as our advocate before the Father who paid for our sins." We're talking about the real Jesus. The one who reveals himself in Scripture, where there is true faith in Christ, all sins are covered. Where there is no faith in Christ, none of the good works of men will save them from condemnation. Men will have to answer for every misdeed, every careless word, every sin, including the great and terrible sin of not fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things. The world doesn't think that sin is a big deal at all. Jesus says, That's the very sin that will condemn everyone who doesn't believe in me. He will convict the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, what does righteousness look like? The world has lots of ideas. Is it giving lots of money to charity? Is it serving in the soup kitchen? Is it being kind to people? Is it praying lots? Is it coming to church or giving a big offering? Is it raising a family? Is it serving your country? What does righteousness look like? Now, all of those things, God says, are good things, fine things, righteous things. But the things aren't righteous if the person isn't righteous. And there is no way for us sinners to be righteous. We were born in sin, already unrighteous. We can't change and become righteous. The only way for us sinners to be righteous people in God's sight is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what righteousness looks like. And then people who are righteous can do righteous things that please God. But first the person has to be righteous. Well, Jesus says the world will be convicted by the Spirit of righteousness, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. The only way for us sinners to become righteous people is through faith in the righteous one, and he isn't here. Well, not visibly. He has ascended into heaven and not visibly here so that we can claim his righteousness here. The only way the righteous one, Christ Jesus, shares his righteousness with us is through the means he has appointed where the Spirit works, through the means of grace, through the preaching of the gospel, through baptism, through the Holy Supper, where the righteous one, through his Spirit, working through the appointed means, shares his righteousness with us even as we're here in the world. But the world outside, where the gospel isn't preached, the world outside, where people aren't baptized and don't trust in the faith, don't trust in the Lord of their baptism, there the righteousness of Christ is not. So it's rightly said that there is no salvation outside of the church. Because within the church, within the Christian church, is where the Holy Spirit hands out and delivers the righteousness of Christ, which is received by faith. Otherwise, you don't see righteousness anywhere in the world. Finally, Jesus says that the Spirit will convict the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The world is the world that rejects Jesus. The world rejects his holy word and his holy Ten Commandments. The world rejects the Jesus who died for our sins and rose from the dead for our justification. And if you're not with Jesus, you're against Jesus, as he himself says. If the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not your God, then the devil is your ruler. You live enslaved in his kingdom. But the ruler of this world, Jesus says, is already judged, already stands condemned. Well, judgment is coming on the rest of the world. Not the judgment of human beings destroying the planet, but the judgment of Jesus coming back to judge mankind by the standard of his holy law. All who are found then in the devil's kingdom when Christ comes for judgment will receive the judgment of their ruler, the devil. So this is the Holy Spirit's preaching. Flee from the devil's kingdom now. Come into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ, where there is forgiveness for every misdeed and every careless word. The entrance is free. Enter today, because tomorrow may be too late. To stay in the devil's kingdom is the worst kind of foolishness, and to return to it would be even worse. There's more to say about our gospel, more words, more verses that we haven't covered today, about how the Spirit will guide the church into all truth and glorify Christ as he does it. But let this be enough for today. We don't have Jesus living visibly by our side. But we do have one who is just as divine, just as powerful, and according to Jesus, even more helpful than the visible Christ would be. Better to have the Spirit Advocate by our side now in this world. He is the good and perfect gift who has come down from the Father of lights for us here below. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.